We all sat there for 9 hours and almost none of us spoke.
That's Christina Frantum. I meet her in a coffee shop here in Tuscaloosa to hear her story of when she decided to have an abortion.
We had to wait. There's a group of us, probably about 20 women, who had to wait at the clinic for about 9 hours in order for the practitioner to arrive.
20 women waited for 9 hours that day at the Planned Parenthood in Birmingham. It's one of 5 clinics that perform abortions in Alabama. That's a lot fewer than some other states. Florida has 71, but it's more than some others, too. Mississippi just has 1. Having so few means that many women live a significant distance from their nearest provider. However, there are people to help.
I generally just kind of fill in the gaps. It's mostly based out of Huntsville.
This is Victoria Smith. She's a volunteer with the Alabama Reproductive Rights Advocates, or ARRA. She's also the proud owner of 3 dogs who wanted to get a word in, too.
But occasionally there will be patients in Tuscaloosa that need a ride or need a place to stay. We've got an RV, and patients are always welcome to stay overnight if they have a 2-day procedure.
Rides and places to stay are AARA's way of helping women seeking abortions. Even once you're at the clinic, though, there are challenges. Christina Frantum had advantages a lot of women don't in terms of being able to take time off and having health insurance. Here she is again.
A lot of the women who were there had to leave and come back and make other arrangements. And so I got to see firsthand, like, as it happened in real time, not just the laws, but also the social repercussions.
There are lots of challenges associated with taking 9 hours out of your workday. In addition to transportation and perhaps a place to stay, these women needed time off from their jobs and, in some cases, money for childcare. Frantum says those barriers are made worse by a law in Alabama that requires counseling.
Really, it's just like, here's the point of no return, and then here's the point of no return, and then here's the point of no return.
Victoria Smith sees the counseling a little differently. She used to administer it.
It's not counseling. It's an informed consent. And my job was basically to scare the shit out of somebody who was already scared.
In Alabama, counseling is required 48 hours before an abortion can be performed. That adds to the time necessary to get an abortion. It's also not the only thing that may scare abortion seekers. Protesters are a common sight at clinics in Alabama, so common that some clinics have defenders.
What a defender is speaking to companions.
Helmi Henkin is a member of the West Alabama Women's Clinic Defenders. I meet her outside of the Tuscaloosa clinic early one morning.
They just open up to us about their lives, the circumstances that brought them to the clinic. You learn a lot about somebody just from how emotionally vulnerable they are, because this is such an emotionally vulnerable experience for them.
Logistically, Henkin's work is simple. She walks people from their cars to the clinic. That way, they don't have to interact with protesters.
A lot of times, they give false information, or they encourage going to the Crisis Pregnancy Center as your first appointment.
Crisis Pregnancy Centers, by the way, are not abortion clinics. They encourage other options, such as adoption.
And they tell them that the Crisis Pregnancy Center counts for your first appointment, which it doesn't.
I go back to the West Alabama Women's Clinic in Tuscaloosa a few days later to hear from the protesters themselves. I met with a quieter scene than I expected.
We are out here, we pray, and we fast.
That's Paul Lake. He's with a group called 40 Days to Life, which is not associated with 40 Days for Life.
They're kind of in trouble and just try to help them get out of trouble.
When Christina Frantum went to Birmingham for her abortion, there were protesters. She thought their rhetoric might upset some of the other women, so she went to talk to them.
It was all women, and they all had the signs, you know, the horrible signs that are shaming and terrible. And then as I was speaking to them, they were saying that they were all telling their personal stories of their children who they didn't abort, and how they were going to but then didn't, and how they feel guilty that they considered it.
She says many of the women have children with special needs and protest as a way to advocate for their own children.
That's the irony of it, right? It's women who are terminating pregnancies, they're making the most important decision as mothers that they possibly can for their children, unborn or otherwise. And so that was kind of broke my brain a little bit, the irony that, you know, people are standing on two sides with the same motivation.
Frantum says her decision to get an abortion came from knowing what it means to be a mother and a co-parent. At the time, she was 34, divorced, and a mother to 1 daughter. She did not want a child from an abusive relationship that was about to end. Looking back on the experience, she doesn't regret her decision.
But I do have one regret for that. On that day, there was one woman in there who was younger, and she probably cried the entire time. And nobody spoke to her or comforted her.
Frantum says for any other medical procedure, there is a community of support. But around abortion, especially in Alabama, there's mostly silence. For APR News, I'm Allison Mollenkamp in Tuscaloosa.